Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
During my readings during the week, I came across an article in, I think it was the Daily Maverick, talking about the fact that Jaron Clegg and Jesse Clegg were busy promoting their father's autobiography, Scattling of Africa. I thought, how absolutely amazing to chat to them, to touch base and find out a little more about the book. Jaron and Jesse, what an absolute privilege it is to have you with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you for having us, man.
Before we get to anything serious, the number of J's here just astounds me. Jaron, Jesse, Johnny, Jenny. There was no ways on earth you were going to get a name without a J, was there?
It was predestined.
That's what I was thinking. Jeremy or
J-Clegg.
100%. Okay, so enough of the J's now. Let's get to the book. So the title of the book, absolutely, I mean, we all know this song and we all understand why it would be called Scattling of Africa. And yet I sat thinking, wasn't your dad anything but a scattling? Wasn't he an absolute integral part of Africa? Why is the book called Scattling of Africa?
Well, I think, as you say, you know, it's Africa was such a huge influence on my dad, and he had this incredible journey to find his way into African culture, music, dance, and he was not only a student of it, but it actually saved his life in many ways. And I think that because the book is, it's about his origin, it's about his childhood, and it's about how these beautiful, diverse cultures and ideas shaped him and gave him some direction and guidance and turned him into the man that we all know and love. And the song Scattling of Africa is about the origin of the species. It's about how all humanity originated from Africa. And you know, it's a sort of like a love letter to Africa. And I think that my dad's life is just a testament to that sentiment. And I think that, you know, it was also his favorite song. So we wanted to honor that and honor the message. And it just felt beautiful because he was truly a scattling of Africa.
No, I'm with you now that you explained what scattling really actually means, but I can't let you say what you said and not quiz you on it. You say you think this connection with African culture saved him. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, when you read the book, you know, you realize that he came from such a complicated and difficult upbringing, and his childhood was wrought with family issues, and he lived in multiple different countries. You know, he was in a boarding school at one point. He never had a father figure. And he was searching for meaning and searching for a way to understand his life and a way to be a man in the world. And when he met Charlie Mzila initially, and he started to learn the music and learn about the culture, and eventually Sipho and Buffa Zun and all the people that shaped his life and became lifelong friends, you really get the sense that it wasn't anything other than a curious, innocent young man searching for an identity and finding it in this beautiful plethora of meaning, music, and dance. And so in that way, you know, he always said that Zulu culture gave him a framework, gave him a way to understand his life and to understand his identity in a very chaotic space. I mean, it wasn't a political thing for him. It was really just, he loved the music and he loved the people that he was with. And it just took him on this incredible journey.
So we all saw his public persona. We saw the concerts. We listened to the records. We heard about Le Zulu Blanc. But he went to bed at night when he closed his eyes. Did he view himself as part Zulu?
That's a great question. And I think a lot of people, you know, they have that same question. They don't understand how deep it really went. And, you know, my dad's life was an amalgamation of all these different experiences from, you know, the academics of anthropology. And of course, this amazing journey with the Zulu culture and, you know, even this Jewish heritage and this very worldly upbringing, going from Rochester in England, you know, to an interracial school and then winding up in South Africa. He had a lot of different experiences that made him up. But at his core, you know, we really saw that he was Zulu in a fundamental way. When he had amazing, very hard days, amazing, you know, he wouldn't speak to his therapist. he wouldn't, you know, call his mom. He wouldn't even, you know, necessarily chat to his family about certain things. if he was going through something, he would go outside and he would do like a banishing war dance, which is called a gear. And, you know, and we just, we'd see him be doing this in the house and in the garden. We just hear these crazy sounds going on outside and we knew what that was. And it was, you know, it was dad working things out and it was, he was working things out in the way in which he, as, you know, with the paternal values that the Zulu culture offered him, it was that framework that he used to deal with the world and to have, you know, a certain warriorship when dealing with anything. And it went into his battle, you know, with the disease. So yeah, he was fundamentally Zulu at his core and of course had, you know, so many other rich, experiences that made him up.
Jaron, one of the comments in the article in the Daily Maverick was absolutely fascinating to me. It was asserted that when he spoke Zulu, he was a different person than the person he was when he spoke English. Is that somebody reading into a situation something that they would like to have seen, or was that really actually the case?
Absolutely. I think, you know, he felt more at home. Obviously, considering the journey he had, he wasn't out, you know, clubbing, you know, he wasn't out as a young person, you know, with all these different crowds. He was really finding himself and really finding his cultural belonging, with the Zulu people. So when he was with them, he was way more animated and way more at ease. Amazing. And just Amazing. Funny and just like warm and, but with that said, I think, you know, he was also incredibly, he was just an amazingly warm person to be around in general. And it came across as well when, you know, when he lectured, he was an incredible storyteller and it kind of just went all around, but definitely he was certainly more animated, you know, with his Zulu friends, because I think part of that culture and kind of getting mixed in with, you know, Sipo and everyone there, it is an incredibly animated language, you know, and Sipo is such an animated character. He's such a funny character in the book. And that really comes across. So it certainly rubbed off on my dad, you know, just kind of, you could see it was like a switch when he went into Zulu.
Amazing that. And I understand that. Jesse, maybe let me ask you, because it is Chai FM and clearly there's a Jewish interest here. To what extent was his Jewish identity in any way important, if at all?
He was an anthropologist by training and he had a deep interest in all cultures and religions, and he had a deep respect. You know, there was a lot of wisdom and there was a lot of age old knowledge that, he held in high regard. You know, I mean, he was never bar mitzvahed. And when I had my bar mitzvah, he felt that it was important, firstly, that I have my bar mitzvah, and secondly, that he has his bar mitzvah with me.
Oh, wow. Really? That's amazing.
We actually got bar mitzvahed together.
Oh, wow.
In the shul. So, and, you know, we sometimes did Shabbos dinner and, you know, he always explained, you know, whether we were in a Zulu context or a Jewish context or a meditation context or whatever, he always had a deep connection to ritual and tradition and the inherited knowledge that any ideology, you know, hands down to a next generation and the value that's there. You know, I don't think he was someone who excluded himself from anything. I think he had a genuine curiosity and respect. And he was incredibly, he was actually very well versed in Jewish religion and culture. And there were things about the ideology and the philosophy that he genuinely deeply respected.
Interesting, because he was such a public figure that I would imagine there would have been room for pushback in that space. Guys, I don't know if you need to run off because we scheduled you to 5:02, but I'd love to have you stay with me for the next 5 minutes and take me. Got a listener in Israel. Her name is Renee Ackerman, and she says, guys, are you anything like your dad? I mean, that's a really tough question to throw at you, but it's not from me. I'm taking the fifth year.
Yeah.
Take it one at a time.
I think, yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, I think I would be incredibly lucky to call myself anything, you know, like my dad. He was an incredible father and, you know, paternal figure in our life, and also an incredibly vulnerable person as a parent. He certainly showed us how to be strong and also show your emotions. And I think that with a lot, you know, many values, he gave us. You know, I would hope to, I certainly feel, a lot of strength from him when I think of him. And I, you know, there are moments that I know he would laugh at that I laugh at just because I know he'd find it funny. And, you know, it's there's certain ways I know I channel him and, you know, especially even in that warriorship that he showed us, with this battle against this disease in his last years. I take such strength from what he showed us. And yeah, so I really hope to, I hope to be, anything like him.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't confidently say. Jez.
I mean, I'm also a musician. So yeah, I guess we're similar in that regard.
Yeah.
We have a shared love of music. My dad really, gave me a deep respect for academia, and I did a BA law degree, and then I did an honors degree in English literature. And he always said that, you know, academia is an incredibly nourishing experience. And, I was grateful that I went down that road because it really gave me, you know, he was right about that. And, you know, I think that he's given me and Jaron both a curiosity about the world and an empathy for different worldviews and different ideas and different ideologies. You know, we have a curiosity and a love for that diversity. And, you know, we feel connection to South Africa. You know, we feel this beautiful, connection and sense of his story and the fact that we can fly his flag and be able to celebrate his life, you know, for us feels like a beautiful duty as family members, as his sons. You know, he wrote this book in the last 5 years of his life, and for us to be able to share this with all of you and to release it now, it just feels like such a beautiful celebration.
So Jesse,
of his life.
Because we've got under a minute left, and firstly, just again, thank you for talking to us here this afternoon. I've loved every single second of it. Secondly, Jaron, we're waiting for the movie that you're going to make on this particular issue. And thirdly, where is this book available in the last 30 seconds or so? How can we buy copies?
It's available at all good bookstores. You can get it on the online sellers as well. That's South Africa. In terms of internationally, we are yet to announce where and when it will be available. But if you live in South Africa, any good bookstore, you will be able to find it from 2 weeks ago. It's now out fully.
Out fully. That is good news. Thank you so very much for talking to us this afternoon. I've loved every second, guys. Look forward to
Thank you for having us.
Look forward to the book. Thank you again.
Thanks so much, man.
Awesome.